If you could look out in the future a few years at the jobs that exist in recruiting, talent acquisition, HR, learning, and how those are going to change, what do you think would exist? We're actually going to talk about those things today.
Welcome to We're Only Human, a podcast focused on blending research and practical advice to help today's HR, talent, and learning leaders improve business outcomes. Let's welcome your host, Ben Eubanks.
Hey everyone, this is Ben Eubanks, and oh goodness gracious, it has been a little bit of time since we published on the podcast, so I hope you are enjoying your spring season. Hope things are going well for you. Allergies at a minimum, maybe, if you're one of the places that really deals with a lot of the pollen and everything else. Here in the southeastern U.S., it is covering everything. It's been a really interesting and very busy spring conference season, as you can tell. The podcast has been one of those things on my to-do list every single week, and I've actually recorded a few episodes, but I've had a hard time getting them actually published and scheduled. Recorded an episode last week at the Skillsoft conference with my good friend Trish McFarland. We co-hosted an episode there, and it'll be running on the HR Happy Hour live show. And I've actually been a guest on a few other shows as well. So it's been, again, a really great season so far in the spring. Lots of speaking, a lot of opportunities to get in front of different audiences and share not only about the book, but also about some of the interesting things and trends I'm seeing in the space. And so, for instance, a couple weeks ago, I actually got to go to Nashville, spoke at the SHRM Talent Conference for several hundred of my closest friends in the talent space about how some of our research on talent management, talent mobility, and how employers can build that culture to enable people to move into and throughout the organization in the right ways. Really, really interesting event, really interesting discussion, and so many great questions at the end of that session. That's one of the only, if you've ever spoken before, you know there's only two or three things you can use to kind of gauge in the moment how it's going. Number one, does the audience take off en masse, run out of the room screaming, or do you get questions after the session? And I didn't see any mass stampede to take off, and lots of really interesting questions after that session. So lots of fun. Enjoyed that thoroughly. That same week, I had the chance to go to D.C. and spoke for a couple of different groups. One of those, I spoke with the Henry M. Jackson Foundation for the Advancement of Military Medicine, their entire HR team, right? Their global HR team was right there in the room. We shared some of the things from the book, shared with them some of the ideas, some of the topics, and some of the things that are going to change in terms of trends around HR. Again, same thing. Interesting questions from the group, lots of fun to share with them, and their team is doing some amazing things. I'm actually going to be interviewing their CHRO on an upcoming show and can't wait to share that with you so you can hear some of the ways they're disrupting their own business, their own space from the talent / HR side. It'll be a fun conversation. Excited about that. In addition, at that same trip, again, that was a busy week, spoke to a group of students in DC about, sorry, not students, a group of career services professionals in DC that advise students and international students on how to apply for jobs, how to focus on their careers, and got to share with that group a little bit about how AI is changing the job search process for candidates and how they should be advising their students on what to do, how to prepare, things like that. That was an interesting conversation because I then had the chance to moderate a panel with a handful of vendors on it that talked about how their technologies are being used to improve the process, make it more intuitive, make it more fair and unbiased, hopefully. And that was an interesting panel. Had HireVue up there, had HireTool talking about their sourcing tools and how candidates can be found and how to be found as a candidate. And also had Brazen up there talking about their conversational chatbot recruiting technology. So a good session there and so much fun for me to be able to share with those people whose job is to help students to find those next jobs. And what I shared with them is that throughout history, the hiring process has been very biased, has been very much, hey, I like you, do you like me? If we like each other, we might can, you know, work this out, let's hire you. And the problem with that is you are more likely to hire people like you, and you're not going to have that diversity of thought, you're not going to have this broad range of individuals necessarily. Again, the bias piece that factors in. And what I like about some of the new technologies that are out there, for example, game-based assessments or asynchronous video interviews and things like that, you can actually use those tools to enable candidates, especially those at the lower end, for example, that don't have much of a resume to share. That helps them to set the stage, set the tone, and to stand out a little bit more than when you shoot your resume in and every single resume for a college student almost You know, pretty much. It looks very, very similar. I have very little experience, and I have a degree. You know, please hire me. And they all look identical. And so how can you stand out in that process? I was sharing with them, again, taking those assessments, doing things like that in the process can help you to stand out when you're in a sea of candidates that look very, very similar, especially today when employers are struggling to find the right people, lots of challenges around hiring. There's a lot of opportunity there. So that was a fun conversation. I thoroughly enjoyed that one. One of the things that I talked about that same week to a different group, last one to talk about that group, a different group, I was speaking with a group of TA professionals, TA leaders and executives in talent acquisition, and we were talking about this same kind of concept, right? How is AI changing hiring and recruiting? And one of the things we talked about was someone said, hey, what is our job going to look like, you know, 5 years, 10 years? And I try to stay away from things like that because I have no clue, honestly, right? Lots of guesses out there about what's going to change. And I try to stay away from that because there's no guarantees of that. And I want them to take something practical away. But I said, okay, let's have some fun. Let's think about this a little bit. And one of the things I've been thinking about, writing a little bit about behind the scenes, haven't published this yet, is this idea of having a candidate experience designer, for example, on the recruiting side, a candidate experience designer that their entire job is about developing, designing, laying out a candidate experience that engages someone from beginning to end. And if that seems kind of like silly or out there, there's already a role like this in the learning profession. They have learning experience designers, and their job is to go through learning curricula and identify ways to pull the learner in, to tease them, to get them excited, to reinforce things they're learning, to keep them engaged, really, in that whole process. And so the same thing would apply over on the recruiting side. I think it would be really interesting to see someone that gets away from spending all of your time sourcing or all of your time scheduling interviews, because those things can easily be automated right now, you know, by some of these bots and other tools, and spend your time instead on designing a process that is fit for a human, that engages and attracts humans, that makes them interested in where you work, what you do. And I actually wrote some pieces earlier this year for the team over at Smashfly around how you can do this in the recruitment marketing process, you know, sharing some of the things about your company, how to create the brand that you want to attract the right candidates. And I think this all factors in there. But so a candidate experience designer was one of the jobs I think is going to exist in the future. One of the other ones that's kind of come to me, again, talking to a lot of HR professionals, and HR leaders in the last few weeks, one of the questions they're always asking is, what's the balance between human and machine? Right? When we're using this AI stuff, where's the right point to draw that line? And what we found in our research is that the very early processes on the recruiting side, for example, when that first touch point happens between a candidate and a company, a candidate shows up on your career site, they click through a job board and find your landing page for a job, that early point, both parties are perfectly happy for a bot to handle that process. But the farther down you go towards the actual point of hire, when someone generates an offer letter and hands it to someone, the more likely that candidates and employers both want there to be human mixed in that process. Again, it's kind of crazy because I just mentioned a minute ago, very biased processes. We are biased, and that's how it is, right? It's who we are as humans. And so some of these tools can help to eliminate some of that bias, but we also want human intuition and the human element in that process to help us make sure we're getting the right person. When I tell a story during my speaking about how one company automated the hiring process completely, put up a job posting. If you made it through the funnel, you know, within a few minutes, you got a job offered you right there on the spot without talking to the company. And it freaks people out. They're like, you hear this collective gasp in the audience because they're like, how could you do that? And when I ask them, what's wrong with that? What scares you? They're like, well, I don't know. You know, is that person crazy? Or did they, you know, how do I know they're a culture fit? How do I know that they're actually who they say they are? How do I know that someone didn't take that assessment for them? Like, what's all these things we're thinking about. So all that to say, like I'm talking all about all these things, one of the other jobs I think could fit into this puzzle is this idea of a human integrator. This person's entire job is about finding where to apply AI, machine learning, bots, algorithms, those tools in the process where it might be less costly than using a human, right? There's great ways today already to automate. No one's using manual payroll probably anymore. No one's writing checks probably for payroll and doing calculations there on a calculator for payroll. So automation's good, but it's about augmenting the human things we bring to work, and that's where I think the real value is. For example, a few weeks ago, I don't know if you saw the news, but there was actually a story about a hospital out in the western U.S. A gentleman was in his hospital bed. He was dying, and I believe his daughter was there, and the hospital sent in a robot with a video screen on it, and the doctor on the video screen basically told her, yes, he's going to pass away. He's not going to make it out of the hospital. And the woman was so upset that the hospital did not do that in person. They didn't send a person in there to tell her this, you know, like a human. You know, hold my hand, tell me this, have some compassion, help me know that you feel, you know, some empathy for my situation. Instead, they send this robot in there because they're trying to be very efficient with the doctor's time. And it kind of backfired. A lot of PR backlash and everything else on the healthcare organization. And it's a clear reminder that we can't automate anything, but there are some things we absolutely should not be automating. We should not be looking to automate every single piece of the hiring process or of the HR process or, you know, of anything in the business where it's interacting with the people, right? You can automate your marketing stuff to your heart's content. That's fine. Automate your manufacturing if you like. Automate, you know, all these other things. But the HR stuff deals with people. It is intuitive. It is, you know, intricately woven into the tapestry of the organization, how we deal with the people. It is what we do. It is what the job is about. And so there's no way to fully automate those things without losing some of that soul, that human touch. And the thing that I believe, again, I mentioned this a minute ago, the real value in AI and these tools is not to automate stuff. There's absolutely value there, and I agree with you there. But the real value is in augmenting the human things we bring to work and bringing those, the creativity, the compassion, those things that make us human and help us to engage with other people. That's where the real value falls on that spectrum for AI for me. And I believe that is where most organizations are going to see that value in the future. Now, again, at one of these events, someone said, well, you know, what if my organization says, hey, efficiency at all costs, and they automate all these things? What's going to happen next? And I said, it'll probably be like the pendulum swinging, right? The pendulum might swing all the way to the side of, we're going to automate in terms of being competitive and reducing cost, but they're going to realize there's an additional cost to that. You're going to automate too much, and you're going to have to back off of that. And so some organizations that go too far, others are going to watch them and say, hey, whoa, they went a little too far. Look at what it's costing them in terms of, you know, no candidate wants to work there, or the employees are leaving in droves because they've lost the soul of the organization. And so I think there will be definitely some shifts and back and forth there. But ultimately, it's going to settle, again, where this human integrator job kind of comes in, this idea that I have where there's a person that is tasked with looking at how to balance those things out so that we can automate everything that we can without automating those things that start to cut into the humanity that we bring to work and how we treat people and everything else and just the culture we have and so on. So really interesting conversation about some of the jobs I see in the future for the HR function, and such a fun discussion. I love sharing about it. So I'd love to hear from you. Shoot me a note, Twitter at Ben Eubanks, LinkedIn, I'm Ben Eubanks there. You can find me easily. Website's LHRA.io for Lighthouse Research and Advisory. If you want to ping me there through our contact page, I'd love to hear from you. What are some of the jobs you think are going to show up in the future? How are those going to change things? I'd love to hear maybe which one you'd like to be doing. You know, is there something different you'd like to be doing within this space of HR and talent and learning? Something that you could spend your time on that might be more valuable than the things you're doing now. Some of the jobs, some of the things, some of the tasks we have to do within the HR space right this moment are already sort of robotic anyway, right? If you've answered that question on how to help someone enroll in their 401k for the sixth time this week, right? And you put a smile on your face because we're in HR and that's what we do and that's just part of our job. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you could automate some of those things without losing, again, that human touch, and you then spend your time on doing some of these other more valuable tasks, that's what really excites me about some of this, not just AI broadly, but about automation, about HR technology, about anything that we're talking about where we're getting some value out of the tools that we have at our disposal. So a really, really fun discussion. Thank you for hanging out with me today. This has been a short episode. Look for some more content coming up very soon. Again, spring conference season's got a few more weeks to go. We'll be at Silk Road Connections out there. San Diego, excited about that one. That's going to be a fun. I'll be sharing about AI at that event. Some of the content from the book. Actually have books available out there for the people that are going to be at the conference. I'll be at the Alabama Sherm event, just sharing from that event. I'm hanging out with some friends here on the local level. There's not a ton of HR stuff that goes on in my state, home state of Alabama. And so I'll be sharing from that. And actually, let's see, May 21st through 23rd, I'll be in Wisconsin, Minnesota, and Chicago for the Minnesota Recruiters series of events that are going on there. We'll be at the Harley-Davidson Museum, TCF Bank Stadium, and then Venue 610 in Chicago. So if you're in any of those cities, you want to hear from me or from check out those events, you can ping me again. Those places I mentioned a minute ago, find me, and we'll talk about how to get you there and to those events and figure out what's going on. It's going to be a really, really interesting year, though. I hope you're doing well, and I look forward to catching up with you soon. Thank you, guys. Have a good week.
Thank you for listening to We're Only Human. Please take a moment to share this episode with another HR leader who might see it as a valuable resource in their daily work. For more information about the podcast and to see all our show archives, please visit upstarthr.com.